hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts Jacob Cazell, Jeff Chaney, and Todd Singer.
Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. This is episode 119. I am your host, Jacob, and along with me are two gentlemen that I am proud and pleased to call my co-hosts, and they are, as always, Mr. Jeff Chaney and Mr. Todd Singer. Jeff, how are you this fine evening?
You know, I could not be better. My tummy is full of meat, and yeah. That's about all I have to say. I'm kind of in a coma.
You went to one of the fancy restaurants up there in your new surrogate city.
I had a 45-day dry-aged 16-ounce Delmonico steak prepared in a medium-rare fashion. It was delicious.
That sounds fantastic. Now, what the Delmonico cut, is that the same name of another cut that we're familiar with here? Is there some difference to a Delmonico? I've heard of them, but I don't think I've ever eaten one.
It's part of a ribeye. So okay. It's like a ribeye, but without the tail part.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds fantastic.
So it's more
fantastic.
Meat, less fat. It was delicious. It was just amazing.
Yeah, the pictures that you placed online, some monitor licking may have been involved. I'm just going to say that.
So yeah, that was great.
Awesome. How about you, Todd? How are you doing?
I'm a little bit lighter in the wallet.
And you didn't even have any delicious meat.
No. I had a salad. My parents took me out for a salad though, so that was good. They bought that for me. Well, yeah, I just purchased a different used car. So
a wholesomely responsible transportation vehicle.
That's correct. And you know what? We'll just talk about that later in What I Love. How about that?
All right. We can do that. Well, very cool. So if you have a question, a comment, a rant, a rave, we would love to hear from you. We have a comment line that you can call with the telephone device, you know, that thing that the government has now hacked into and is listening to. And that number, as always, is 317-643-1212. We would invite you to subscribe to our newsletter. We might get around to sending another one out one of these days. That is nobettershow.com/join. And if you want to support the show, and throw us a couple of bucks, that is always greatly appreciated. You could do that on a Patreon, and that is patreon.com/nobettershow. So I think we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. There's a bunch of stuff in the news this week. Don't know where you guys want to jump in at. A couple of quick ones that I had put into our show notes. So depending on how big of a fan you are, you may or may not have been aware that a little company that dates back to the 1800s just released a new video game accessory, which seems to be quite popular. Nintendo just rolled out their new platform, the Switch. I'm curious because, Jeff, you and your family seem to be pretty in tune and connected to Nintendo and Nintendo hardware. I'd love to kind of know what you think about it. So far, from what I've seen, it does seem kind of hard to find. I haven't really seen any places that are advertising like, hey, come on in and you could just buy one, pick it up off the shelf. I've seen a lot of places calling it a $300 Zelda machine. Apparently one of the launch titles, this new Zelda game, Breath of the Wild, has been getting fantastic reviews. I mean, like 9 of 9, 10 of 10s from the game review places. But curiously, I think in North America, the platform only launched with 9 available titles. I know that there are plans to get up to, I believe, 150 pretty quickly within the next few months. But still, 9 titles is not a lot. It's a portable device. It's kind of like a tablet, and they say you get about 3 hours, maybe just a hair under 3 hours on a charge. I've seen some people claim that they are getting some stuttering and bogging down playing the Zelda Breath of the Wild game. So there's some concern online that people are speculating that right out of the gate it may already be maxed out in terms of what developers can do, and you know it's not a platform where there's a lot of overhead and breathing room still left in there. And I did see just recently, apparently there have been some numbers released that in Japan, over the first 3 days of its launch, they have sold an estimated 330,000 units. I have not seen any numbers from North America yet, but apparently that compares favorably to the Wii and the Wii U, which were both launched around the holidays. This was not, and they also they moved a little over a quarter of a million units. So it appears by all estimates to be a big successful platform for Nintendo. But is it too little, too late, or do you think it's going to go like gangbusters here?
So. My kids are not interested in it at all. And really? I don't know if that is because there's not a Pokemon game that is, you know, closely associated with it at this point. That's what has kept, you know, my kids involved in any kind of Nintendo product. So that may change. Mm-hmm. But for now, they just haven't shown any interest at all.
Yeah, that's.
I think it's important not so much to have a lot of titles as to have a killer title. And
yeah.
So if they've got that with Zelda, then they're going to move units, I think.
But are there enough people that are willing to pay $2.99 just to play this Zelda game? Because I believe that the version is available for Wii U, and it, while it may not be quite as graphically beautiful, I've read that it's, you know, like a 95% experience. So you're almost all the way there if you have a Wii U. Although I don't know what number is out there as far as Wii U's, and I don't know is that a platform that they're even still selling? Can you go buy a Wii U today?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I thought that, yes, you could, but I would not swear to that.
Well, I know that the Wii U platform is a few years old, and I don't know that I really, other than games, remember seeing hardware out there. So it may be one of those that you can't as easily maybe go buy, but of course you can't easily go buy a Switch right now either, just because their demand I think has outstripped capacity. But I don't know, it's interesting to see that you know, Nintendo, which used to be, I mean, they were kind of it as far as the video game platform goes, and you know, I mean, 330,000 units, that's a lot. But I mean, how many units did the Xbox sell in its first 3 days, the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4? I feel like it's more.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember. But I don't know, the portability thing seems like that might be a plus as well. I'm trying to just click here on Amazon, and it doesn't look, can you get any right now even? It's saying from new, but it looks like they're resells.
Yeah, it looks like the Wii U might be third party.
Yeah. Yeah, the Switch is all just other people selling it. It doesn't look like you can order it directly from Amazon.
And maybe because of the demand for the Switch, it looks like the cheapest I see for a Wii U is $250. So I mean, you're right there. You're only $50 shy to just get a Switch, assuming that you can find one. And you know, here's one that is Prime available. It's a Nintendo Wii U Mario Kart Deluxe Bundle with the game, $3.95. So that's kind of a salty meatball there. And you know, to the portable point, one of the articles I saw, which I thought this was a really interesting, and I wonder if it's a big swing and a miss on Nintendo's part, but it is, you know, they're pitching it as, you know, the portable, travel with it, play on the go platform, and the screen apparently is plastic and not glass, so there are a lot of people who are concerned that they're going to scratch it, because, you know, Nintendo's encouraging people, hey, throw it in a bag, take it with you, it's going to be great, but it's using a polycarbonate screen, and that stuff scratches super easy. So I'm assuming there's going to be probably a big market for, you know, aftermarket, like the tempered glass protectors and stuff like that, just to make it so that you don't scratch the heck out of it. But, you know, like anything, the the internet is making a lot of squawking about, you know, questionable, you know, build and materials used. And apparently there's also some concern over the wireless, what do they call them? The Joy-Cons and connectivity, which, again, I haven't seen enough to know if it's a big deal or not, but there is a very loud and vocal group on the internet that hates everything. And I have read that there has been some squawking in that world too. So I don't know. We'll be interesting to see if it, you know, what it continues to do, but I feel like, you know, Nintendo made a boatload of money with, you know, Pokemon Go on mobile platforming. And I don't know if I remember the number, but I think it was a pretty substantial number with their Mario Run game that released on iOS. And is it out on Android yet? I know it was coming to Android. Do either of you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It sure seems like it was imminent.
Yeah.
And that was like,
if it's not out, it's going to be soon.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm just surprised that they wouldn't leverage their intellectual property and license these properties and characters for other platforms. And
so, like, man, you know, here's my take on this. Come out with Mario Kart from Super NES. I don't even care if it's the most recent Mario Kart. Put it on my phone. Let me use my phone to steer. Take my money.
Yeah.
Take all my money and let me like race against other people.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Just like seriously. $25. I would pay $25.
I mean, I feel like they are sitting on a gold mine of these characters and properties that they own if they would just leverage it right and not try and build their own hardware. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think they'd make a bunch of money if they did. So.
If we want to move on, there was a cool one that I wanted to throw out there just because I thought it was really cool. I think everyone knows that I'm into photography, and I don't know if you saw this, but the Sistine Chapel, they just finished up a digitization project on the Sistine Chapel.
No, I haven't heard anything about this.
So it took 65 nights of work across 5 years, and they took 270,000 digital still photos. They compiled those all together, used special post-production software to get depth and intensity, warmth, and the nuance of colors accurate to 99.9%.
Wow.
Ooh. Pretty.
They're going to come out with a book based on these pictures, 220-page coffee table book that is going to be printed at a 1-to-1 scale. So the pages will be life-size.
Oh, wow.
Including the creation of Adam and Jesus' face from the Last Judgment. And it's only going to cost $12,693. So, wait, for this book? Yeah. So if somebody wants to throw that in the, you know, buy for Jeff category, I would be more than happy to take that.
Seems like a bargain at that price.
I mean... There's probably a market for that. You don't have to move a lot of units when you're charging 12 grand a piece, do you?
So they're only printing 2,000 limited edition books.
Wow.
But still really cool. And you know, that's, you know, now that it's digitized, it'll be saved forever. Right. I mean,
yeah, that's theory, amazing.
I thought that was really cool.
That is, you know, and kind of in the same vein, I saw a blurb a couple of days ago about a guy who's been petitioning Russia for over a year now for permission to photograph, I believe, the underground transit system in Moscow, and has done something similar. Apparently, it is an architectural masterpiece that was built during the Cold War as a, you know, big, like, Moscans can do anything better than any imperialist West can do. And it took them a year of wrangling to get like 2 weeks of nights where they shut the subway down and cleared it of people so this guy could come in and photograph it. And the pictures are just architecturally stunning. And same kind of thing. I think that he's putting together a book, and it's going to be not all of that, the money, $12,000. But, you know, like, I see those $200 coffee table books and I go, man, who's paying $200? Look at the money bags over here, let alone $12,693.
So my hope is that they'll come out with one that maybe is a little more limited, or, you know, as far as sizing and stuff. And you know, I'd throw a couple hundred bucks at something that wasn't limited edition that has some of these prints in it, because I just think that would be really cool. For $12,963, I would probably opt for just going and seeing it myself.
I feel like you could probably even do that for less than $12,000. You could take your family.
I think you could do it in style for $12,900 and some odd dollars. But, you know, still, I just, not that I think anyone's going to buy it, and they'll probably sell out. I mean, only 2,000. That's not very many guys. I mean, that's
no. And while 12 grand is a lot of money to me, there are definitely more than 2,000 people who could sneeze $12,000 and not even notice it.
Exactly. So anyway, still thought that was cool. Just wanted to throw that out.
That
there.
Is very cool. And if you want to check out the Moscow metro station pictures, the photographer is David Burdini, and his website is davidburdini.com, and that is DavidBurdeny. It's amazing architecture. So that's cool. Yeah, that's awesome, Jeff. I had not seen that. That is really, really cool.
Just to share with you and the listeners on another short and quick thing, or as long as we want to make it. I'm not going to put this as a what I love, because let's face it, it's kind of old, but I got a new shiny toy.
What? I can't tell. It's a iPhone. Oh, you got the jet glossy fancy iPhone.
I did. So we switched to Verizon.
Well, I knew you did.
Right.
And I got the shiny,
the jet black,
not available when I ordered it, because, you know, it was so rare. But look at that. Look at that shine.
You actually
very reflective.
You have it out of its case. I can see the scratches accumulating by the second.
There is not a single scratch on this, and it will be going right back into my case to where you will never know that I have the shiny black phone. But
goodness.
By golly, I know it, and that's what's important.
So which case did you put on this device? Is it a clear case where you can tell that you have a jet black?
No,
of course
using,
not.
I'm using
just a leather case.
Lomad leather case. Again.
Put a sticky note on it that says this is the really black phone underneath.
You know, really, there are so few people who would really care. One of which are, or two of which are, well, one of which is sitting right now on this screen in front of me, and I just showed him. So that's good enough for me. That works for me.
That is nice.
So yeah, that was very exciting. So far, Verizon, two thumbs up. Of course, anything compared to T-Mobile,
which has to be. That's surprising, because T-Mobile gets such good reviews in big cities. And I know you said that it's not been good for you in Chicago.
It was just, I couldn't take it anymore. Like, we pumped up the timetable, because I was like, I can't do this. Like, I couldn't get phone calls or texts from my family, because
that sounds like a good thing, not a bad thing.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess if you don't love your family, Jacob.
Says the man who's sitting hundreds of miles away from his family.
I talked to them.
But now you can actually talk to them. Well,
that's
very cool.
Absolutely. And we're on that nifty new Verizon Unlimited plan, which, by the way,
nice,
is costing me less than what I was paying on T-Mobile for service.
That's surprising. Very seldom has the phrase Verizon is costing less than any other option ever been uttered. That's not something you usually hear.
So I'm so far very, very happy, and I have a shiny black iPhone.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a Nougat yet on your S7?
I do. I got it this week.
Cool.
So I got Nougat on my Galaxy S7. I discovered that Samsung has a built-in theming option, and I bought a couple themes, and I'm really enjoying that. Kind of does what I used to do, like, you know, on my own, by customizing everything after I rooted it. I don't have to do that now. And I'm really enjoying that part of the Android experience. Nougat, I don't know that I can tell you that it seems that much different.
It's because you didn't have Lollipop. You
know, yeah. Going from marshmallow to nougat, I can't tell you that I'm noticing a huge difference. It might seem a little snappier, I guess. The multi-screen support, at least with Samsung, or the multi-window support, works a little easier. But other than that, like I said, I don't know that I notice any huge difference. But two thumbs up. I tell you, honestly, Samsung Pay, like, has to be one of the best things ever in the entire universe. Seriously, like, it is a life changer. Because I don't ever have to take my, I mean, like, taxi cabs. So now that I'm traveling, I'm taking a lot of taxis. I use Lyft as well, but I tend to use Lyft like to the airport. When I'm in downtown Chicago, going from my hotel to the, you know, to work or whatever, it's a lot easier just to get a taxi because they're all lined up right in front of the hotel. Mm-hmm. So I just walk out the front door and go like that, and then I'm in a taxi. But I don't have to get my wallet out. I just use my Samsung Pay. Gosh, it's just great. It's wonderful. And if we would get to be more like Europe, where when you go to restaurants, they bring out the little card reader for you, that would make it even better because I wouldn't have to take the credit card out ever. But still have to take that credit card out at restaurants and stuff now.
Chili's will bring that to you.
Yeah, I'm not eating at Chili's much. Which, you know, I ate it at Chili's and I used it at the airport in Chicago at O'Hare last week.
They're not the only chain that's using those little tabletop kiosks, and that does make it a lot less painful. You just hit the button when you're ready to go and you do it yourself. I think Red Robin has those.
Yeah.
But again, if you're going to be in Chicago, it's definitely a foodie city. Why would you waste time at Red Robin?
The food up here has been just amazing. Even like just the cafeteria at the building that I work in, there's actually two different cafeterias, and like the options there are just amazing. Like they have a pho station and you can go pick what you want in your pho and they make pho for you right there.
Why wouldn't they? That's amazing.
It's just like, where have you been all my life? It's just awesome.
Gee, a city of like 8 million people has more options than a city of like 900,000 people. Who would have thought?
Well, you also pay for it.
Yeah.
At least you're paying for stuff that's good. I mean, you could be paying a lot and it suck, and that's definitely not the case. So,
I mean, you pay for it through the week, but you still get the convenience of the Midwest's low price of living because you don't have to pay to live there. I think that would change the equation quite substantially.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Very cool. Well, getting back to tech, and that is cool that you got the new phone, although does that screw you up for being able to upgrade here come later this year?
So the way Verizon works is you have to have paid for half of your phone.
So you could accelerate payments if you wanted to.
So I can accelerate the payments, or just when I get ready to do the upgrade, I'll just pay off whatever I need to and done.
Gotcha.
And with the rumors that are coming out that the iPhone, what are they calling it?
The last one I've heard is potentially the fancy dancy. There's going to be three, the iPhone 7S, the 7S Plus, which are just going to be basically exactly what we have today with faster processors and, you know, marginal improvements, what you see in the S-Tick. And then potentially even coming out weeks or months after the iPhone 7 or the iPhone S line launches, the iPhone potentially now calling it the Edition, iPhone Edition. Is going to be the new fancy one.
So if that comes out a couple months later, that'll actually work out real well for me because I will have almost already paid half my phone off and it won't be that big of a deal. And I will be waiting. If there are three and there's one of them that's an addition that's fancy dancy and costs all the money, you know very good and well, sign me up, take my money. That's what's going to happen.
So I don't have any notes specifically about it because, you know, we are still a ways out and there's, you know, I've read a lot of different rumors and they contradict themselves.
They do. A lot of the rumors that I'm seeing is OLED screen.
OLED screen, yep.
Hardly any bezels. That the home button will be embedded in the screen.
That's correct.
And that it's going to like make a tuna fish sandwich for you anytime you want. Okay, well, maybe one of those isn't true, but I, you know, from everything that I've seen, you know, it's just another iteration, but it's an iteration that will be good. I mean, I'm sign me up.
Yeah, the two things that seem to be very consistent on the rumors that I've been seeing are that it's going to be roughly the same size as the iPhone 7 today. So it's going to be about the size physically of Apple's 4.7-inch phone with a 5-point-something-inch display, because they're going to be able to completely eliminate or almost completely eliminate bezels.
Well, everything that I've seen is that it's going to be the size of an iPhone 7 with a screen that's bigger than the 7 Plus.
Right. I think I've seen everything from 5.5 to 5.7 or 5.8-inch screen, which, okay, that's great. Fantastic. But that one seemed, all of the rumors seem to include that, and OLED, which again should be, you know, just drop dead sexy. But the other thing that I've seen over and over again, which I think lends some credence to the rumors, which I don't know how I feel about it, is that, you know, and potentially these rumors that have sort of surfaced over the last few days with the edition moniker, and just knowing what Apple has done with, you know, with their Apple Watch edition and whatnot, is a price north of $1,000. And sure. And part of that is the technology we talked about here on this podcast a couple weeks ago with the new logic board technology that stacks components to let them cram in a bigger battery and deliver the performance that everybody wants from a battery standpoint. But man, I don't know how I feel about swallowing that kind of a price tag.
So I have a 7 Plus that's 128 gigabytes. So mm-hmm. My phone was just north of 950.
It is, right.
So they're talking about probably being $100 more than that.
I mean, I already had a real hard struggle with myself at that price point.
And I understand what you're saying. I just, you know, I do enjoy my Apple hardware. I just think that sounds like something that I'm interested in, and I hope that the rumors are true.
Yeah. It's going to put me in a situation where I'm really going to have to weigh the how badly do I want the new shiny gadget with how responsible do I want to be fiscally? Because no matter how you slice it, you chop
you
it up into
the same
payments
thing last time, and guess what? You're gonna do it.
No, but man, it's a lot of money if that one rumor holds to be true.
It's $4 more a month.
Could anybody but Apple pull that off? Is there anybody out there on the other side that could come get away with $1,000+ phone?
But, you know, whatever you're paying now, it's $4 more a month. That's one frickin' Starbucks. You are gonna do it. So just shut up.
Maybe.
And quit pretending.
I can still complain about it.
I know Todd's not gonna do it. It ain't gonna matter if it was $5. But
is it gonna have wireless charging?
Yes.
It does seem like at least for that model, potentially, but not necessarily on the 7S release. So the rumors are sort of solidifying around wireless charging being iPhone 8 or iPhone Edition exclusive.
One thing that I will say is that it will not have Samsung Pay. Honestly, guys, like...
And that's a shame, because it is magical to watch.
For my personal phone, if it were not for the fact that the rest of my family's on Apple and all the things that go along with that, Find My Friends, FaceTime, iMessage, all those things, I would be looking right at Samsung. I have really enjoyed this Samsung Galaxy S7. There's hardly any of the crapware that used to be on the Samsung world. That's nearly gone, or at least gone enough that it doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Samsung Pay is a life changer. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I have started to see it a little bit more in the wild, and it does work really slick. It's one of those things that, you know, it kills me as an Apple user and Apple fan that they didn't think of it first. And I'm a little surprised. It's one of those, I'm surprised, and at the same time, I'm absolutely not surprised that Samsung hasn't licensed that tech out.
And I've exactly had the Samsung Pay experience from the commercials, where I'll be in the taxi and I'll hold my phone up. And
go, we don't do that.
Don't have Tap to Pay. Bling.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. If I have a Samsung phone. So yeah, I honestly can't not recommend it enough. And I forgot how much I love OLED screens. OLED screen. I mean, that in and of itself is worth an extra $100 on the iPhone. you know, edition or whatever it's going to end up being. Mm-hmm. If that has an OLED screen and the 7S does not, that's worth $100. OLED is just, it's just a superior technology. It really is. The colors are just,
I'm more excited about a 5.7 inch screen and the size of a 4.7 inch phone more than I am OLED.
That's huge too. Absolutely.
And
that's the way, the LG G6 mm-hmm. has gone, and the S8 is rumored to be going.
No bezels. I don't know that Samsung has done a great job educating people, because I work with technology people, and I've had conversations with some Samsung owners who are like, I've never set that up. I don't really know anything about it. And they just don't know anything about it, which I'm like,
that's crazy.
You realize it works everywhere. You can just use it magically and never take your wallet out of your pants. Nah, I don't care. It's like, that doesn't make sense to me, but
you also earn points. So they have like a point system, and then you can get free stuff. And they also have special discounts at certain retailers.
And that's a Samsung piece of Samsung Pay. So it's not like it has to be tied to a certain credit card. It's just you get points within Samsung.
You get points with Samsung. And then like for a lot of the points that are quote unquote a good deal are on like Samsung accessories. Hmm. But still, I mean, they have other things too. Like I think you can get an Amazon gift card for, 5,000 points for like $20. And that's, it's not that you're getting a ton, but it's still better than nothing.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, free points is free points.
Yeah, exactly. So two thumbs up.
Awesome.
So do we want to talk about something that's not technology, but that's in the wheelhouse?
Has
anyone besides me gone to see Logan?
No, but I have heard nothing but good things about it.
Oh my gosh. Best comic book movie ever.
I've been hearing that it is phenomenal.
It is. I like Deadpool an awful lot as well, but this did so, like, it's not that I disliked the other Wolverine movies him, but this was truly a Wolverine movie. I mean, and everything that goes along with it. it earned its rated R, and a Wolverine movie should be rated R.
Yeah,
true.
In the comic book universe, Wolverine has killed more people than any other comic book character, including Deadpool. So, man, I tell you, I don't want to give any spoilers, and I certainly won't yet. We could talk about it if we want to some other time, maybe after you guys have seen it. But do yourself a favor and go see that movie. Like, do it as soon as possible.
Well, and what's interesting, and I've not seen it, so I don't know anything about it specifically, but I was listening to the radio maybe a week ago, and they had a little blurb on the writer and director James Mangold. They had an interview with him, and he talked about the fact that he wrote it in mind almost as a Western, kind of that mindset of a lot of the same mechanisms and vehicles that you would see in a Western. And he said that really translated to what he was trying to achieve in a comic book movie really well. And looking at some of the things that he's done, he did the Johnny Cash movie, Walk the Line, which was a great movie. He directed Girl Interrupted, which I know not a Western, but that was a really good movie back in, it's been 1999. It's been 18 years ago now. I got old somewhere along the way. It's interesting that the sort of the mindset, and it was a really interesting interview just talking about how he approached it and came to the movie. So I definitely, it's on the list of things that I want to see. He also co-wrote the remake of 310 to Yuma back about 10 years ago.
So. Yeah, I it is so good, and it makes it makes you a little sad that we aren't going to get any more of those Wolverine movies, but because it just finishes so strong. But he has said that he's done making the movies.
Yep.
Hasn't Patrick Stewart said the same thing?
Yes, absolutely.
But this was his last one.
Yes, Absolutely.
You know, but don't be sad for what you're not going to get in the future. Be happy for the amazing things that you've been given.
Yeah.
Well, and this definitely transitions into, I mean, we've already had the X-Men timeline reboot, right?
Mm-hmm.
With some really talented actors and mm-hmm. you know, good movies as well. This actually enters in another era of movies that we're going to see, which is the new X-Men or the you know, second line of X-Men going forward. So that should be interesting as well.
Are they calling it Next Men?
I think the comic books were what, like the New Mutants or something, I think was the line of books. So
you're getting deeper into that world than I know. But I will throw a plug. I don't know that I've talked about it on the show, but since we're kind of off into a Marvel land a little bit, are either of you watching I believe it's on FX, the show Legion?
Yes.
It is fantastic. It's,
yes, it is.
I mean, it's about Legion, which is Xavier's son, right? Although I guess if you're watching the series, which is actually broadcasting tonight, so I'm missing it to sit here and bring this podcast to you guys. I don't know if
only
gonna,
there was some
if
device.
If only there was a time shifting could... device. yes. It's really good though. I mean, it's, you know, two thumbs up. Production values. It's got some great actors in it. It's really good.
So to continue along the line of Marvel on a pre not even seen it yet vein, early reviews of people that have seen Iron Fist, which is the next Netflix edition of the Marvel Universe, are giving it a solid meh.
Really?
Yeah.
That's going to be one of the first big mess out of Marvel Studios, huh?
What I've read so far is culturally insensitive and makes up with it by being really boring.
Two great tastes great together.
Wow, that's great. So basically it's the Howard Stern show. That's what I'm hearing.
It's edgy, but yeah, who cares? Wow. That's awesome. So, you know, kind of segueing.
I hope it's wrong, but I'm still going to watch it, but you know.
So to your point, Jeff, and I thought this was interesting, I just saw a headline that said for the first time, more U.S. households have Netflix than have a DVR. Apparently, according to a new report, I was looking to see if I had written down who the reporters were. Research Group's annual study, 54% of U.S. adults say that they have Netflix in their household, while only 53% report having a DVR, the first time that households with Netflix have surpassed the level of those with a DVR in the history of studies from LGR.
You know, my only argument on that is if it's self-reporting, how many people reported that they don't have a DVR that have a DVR and just don't know it?
Well, you know, I mean, interestingly, I work with more and more people who are becoming cord cutters, but they're cord cutting and replacing it with streaming services. So, yeah. I mean, I could buy that. That might definitely be a trend that, if it's not true, is rapidly becoming true. So apparently,
I would also say that the fact that Xfinity, probably the largest DVR provider,
probably
adding Netflix to their DVRs probably brought that curve.
Potentially, but you would still be in a both DVR and Netflix household. This study is saying households that have Netflix but do not have a time place or a time shifting digital recorder. It is interesting. They said in 2011 that the research firm showed 44% of households had a DVR and only 28% had Netflix, which 2011 to me just feels like a year ago. I mean, it doesn't feel like 6 years ago, but Netflix was under 30% penetration, and now they have eclipsed DVR usage. There was a bone thrown to TiVo in the article. Apparently the first digital video recorder from TiVo shipped in 1999, which, man, that doesn't feel like it was 18 years ago.
That's a long time ago.
It is. And Netflix did not debut their video streaming service until 2007, which to me, again, that just feels like a blink of the eye ago, and that was a decade.
That was a decade ago.
A decade
Seriously,
ago.
Like 10 years. That's crazy.
Right. But 2007, that just feels like, that was just that like 3 years ago, right? 2007 was just 3 years ago.
Well, I don't know that I would say that 2007 seems like it was just 3 years ago. But if you would have asked me, how long ago did you get Netflix streaming? I would have been like, a couple of years.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, it's been 10 years now.
And I mean, I remember being a customer thinking, well, why do I have to pay more to get this streaming thing? But
well, and in the beginning, you didn't. I was a DVD customer for a long time and got streaming as an incidental. I remember the big split. And actually, they renamed the DVD side of the house very briefly there for a while to try and further separate the difference between the two.
Yeah, they renamed it Netflix Old People.
And I think quickly dropped that and renamed it back to Netflix. But yeah.
And we got news this week. There's a new way to cut the cord.
Yes.
Did you see that? YouTube Live launched on Tuesday, $35 a month.
I did hear about that.
And it will offer access to broadcast networks as well as YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
40 networks starting out, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, Bravo, FX, ESPN, and Fox Sports, among others. And an unlimited DVR that never runs out of space in the cloud.
Cloud DVRs.
Why isn't a Comcast doing that already? And why do I need to store it locally? I don't really. I mean, heck, we watch a lot of stuff on demand now, especially if I hear about a show from somebody and, you know, after the fact, like, oh, hey, I started watching this great show that came out a month ago and I can go catch up.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is kind of a cloud DVR.
And heck, my, I got the box now. And I can go to HBO Demand on the Spectrum box in my house, but I can't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm from it. I have to go to the app anyway. I have to go to HBO Go, log in, and use the app if I want those episodes because they're not available on my box.
Because that's not a Spectrum thing. That's an HBO thing.
I need to go back and watch that show. Right. I never watched that show when it was originally on. I need to go back and watch it. I'm going to add that to the list of the 100 other things that I'm way behind on watching because I watch no TV now.
I'm through season 5.
Well, I have a suggestion for a show, you guys, and hopefully the provider of choice that you guys have is better than Xfinity. I was turned on to a show called The Detour, which is a TBS show.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is Jason Jones and Samantha Bee, who are both two incredibly funny people. They created it, and Jason Jones stars in it. And here's my bone to pick with On Demand. You are at the whim of your provider. So somebody at work had told me about it, and I sat down last weekend on a Friday night and started watching the first episode, and my wife was solidly meh, and I'm like, come on, let's give it a try. Nothing's on. We watched the first episode. She started chuckling. We got into it, and then we binge-watched. We just watched and watched and watched. And we got to episode 5, finished that, and then it started on Previously On and jumped right to season 2. And none of the Previously On made any darn sense. And I went and started looking, and, well, season 1 was actually 10 episodes, not 5 episodes. But the other 5 episodes are nowhere to be found. They're not online. They're not in Comcast's lineup. They're just not there. So I'm trying to find the last 5.
Like there were a bay.
I understand.
Buccaneers that you could possibly go to.
I have not resorted to anything illegal yet. But
if they don't give it to you in any other way, you can't even go to Apple and buy it.
I have not looked that far.
I agree with that. I agree with what Jeff just said.
I mean, if you can go buy it, go buy it.
And
but if you can't,
what will happen?
There's nowhere to buy it.
I will torrent.
Screw this.
I agree. But it's just frustrating when you do get into that situation, and then you're like, I'm giving you my eyeballs. Now give me your content. And that is frustrating.
A good show. I have not gone back to watch it from the beginning. But the one constant for me in the evenings is when I get to the hotel room, the TV goes on TBS and it stays on TBS, which that's where that show's on.
They've got some good shows. They've got that People of Earth that you turned me on to.
Yeah, they do. And between that and Samantha Bee, and I like Conan and the other shows, like, you know, one night is an all Family Guy night, and one night's an all Big Bang Theory night, and one night's an all, I mean, you know, they're just good shows, and I just leave it on, and I can do other things and kind of pay attention to it. But I caught a couple of those detours and was just laughing my butt off.
Yeah.
So it's inappropriate. Wonderful.
It's a great show. So if you haven't seen it, everybody, two strong recommendations.
This is just an all what I love episode, but that's okay. We do this for ourselves, and if anyone else enjoys it, great.
So some big news came out this week that has kind of rocked the security world a little bit. This WikiLeaks thing is causing some problems. Some consternations. I saw an interesting article that had tried to pull together a couple of quick big hits out of this data dump, and some of them have definitely heard about online, and others I hadn't heard about so much. But I guess out of the so far over 8,000 pages of documents that have been released in this this cache. That they are calling Vault 7, which I don't know. I'm not up on all of my WikiLeaks terminology, so I don't know exactly what that means. But I found an article that was talking about six of the big secrets that are revealed by this release. And a couple of them were kind of surprising. I think caught a lot of people off guard. The first was the fact that the CIA apparently has the ability to break into Android and iPhone handsets, as well as all types of computers. So iPhone, Android.
We kind of got a hint of that, right, with the lawsuit a while back that they figured out some way where they could drop the lawsuit.
Yeah, they just kind of, the FBI just kind of quietly went away. Yep. Although at the time it was rumored that there was a firm, I want to say it was an Australian company that had come forward.
Israeli.
I knew it was not an American firm had said that they were the key to this, but maybe it was the CIA.
I'm sure they were the key.
Yeah, the key.
So here's the thing, guys. Does this really surprise anyone?
No.
Here's the thing, guys. I would be disappointed if the CIA couldn't hack all this stuff.
I hope it surprises the manufacturers, though.
Well,
the software producers.
I think it probably does surprise the manufacturers, but it shouldn't, because honestly, the CIA hires some of the smartest people who do stuff not for the money, but for the challenge.
Sure.
And I would be shocked if they couldn't hack into anything. I think they can listen anytime they want. I think that they can turn your phone on and listen anytime they want. Your camera on your computer anytime you want. I think all of that stuff's true. I would not shock me at all. And whether or not it should be true or should be legal is irrelevant. I think it happens all the time.
I agree 100%. I think it is something that, you know, it's one thing to maybe know it intellectually, and then another thing to really be absolutely unequivocally confronted with it through a data dump. Of the ones that got me, which I remember years ago, I may have been high school or college reading 1984, and, you know, one of the big things was...
That was in 1984, right?
Something like that. But... But the, you know, the television screens were two-way devices, and they watched you as much as you watched them. And then it turns out that because of the direction that we have gone with Internet of Things and everything plugging in, that yes, the CIA was actually using smart televisions to listen in to everything that was going on around them, even when the television was off. And, you know, I've got a smart TV. I have it plugged into the internet because, you know, as a consumer, I like information fed right into my big, fat, dumb brain. And I'm a willing potential victim of something like that because I like my Netflix. And, you know, we don't really think about those. It's one thing to think about it in the abstract. It's another thing to think about it in the, oh, yeah, they could actually be doing this to me, and I've willingly plugged myself into it. That's a little scary if you kind of step back and think about it. We're willingly embracing technology that is allowing our privacy to be eroded, and it's not a good thing. I'm not going to say it's a bad thing because we're all willingly doing it, or at least a large number of us are, but it is an interesting thing. You know, Apple
just has, do what I do and put aluminum foil on top of your television.
The whole house,
all the signals.
Wrap the whole house in aluminum foil and then plug it into the internet with a Wi-Fi or wired card.
The way you need to think about this is 100 years ago, the only way they could spy on you is looking through your window, right?
Yeah.
So what did we invent? We invented curtains. So what we need to invent, this is a $1 million idea, and I'm giving it away for free, is Venetian blinds and or curtains for your TV, your computers, for everything. You just pull a curtain shut when you're ready to be private. And when you're not ready to be private, you open the curtains.
But Jeff, I can't be bothered to get off my couch to pull the cord. So can you put a remote control on those?
Absolutely.
No, and you know, I got to think
we'll hook those up to the Amazon Alexa, and you can say, Amazon Alexa, please, I want privacy in my house. I'll be there.
Privacy mode, Alexa. Thank you. You know, and I was thinking about that too today in the car, and because they were obviously talking a lot about this on the radio, and I listen to a lot of talk radio, and it's been a big topic. And you know, one of the things too that, you know, we think, oh my God, this is so bad, they can listen to us through our television. But you know, I mean, 20 years ago, if you were the target of an investigation and they needed to listen to you, they'd get a warrant and they'd go in and put a bug in your television. Or your lamp, or your toaster. And, you know, the technology has just gotten much easier where they don't have to physically come in necessarily and put a bug in your device. But they could have, you know, in the past before this was ubiquitous. And now they just have a big Lucius Fox bank of phones that anyone anywhere can listen in on, a la the Batman. And Apple actually came out this week and has said that they have already patched many of the exploits that were part of these WikiLeaks documents. So I think there's a lot of question about the authenticity of a lot of these, although I did see one article where a former NSA employee had said that from what they had seen in reviewing the documents, it looked authentic, and it was incredibly difficult to fabricate the volume of the amount of data that was part of this dump. And they also admitted that a lot of the things that they had seen looked like they were on par from a sophistication level with some of the things that he had been involved with at the NSA itself. So that CIA does indeed have some of the you know, best and brightest in working on these. So Apple has acknowledged that they are working on patching, and apparently have taken steps to patch many, quotes around the word many, of the 14 vulnerabilities that were listed as a big part of this dump, and to rapidly address the rest. Apparently one of their spokespeople told TechCrunch, Apple is deeply committed to safeguarding our customers' privacy and security. The technology built into today's iPhone represents the best data security available to our consumers, and we're constantly working to keep it that way. Our products and software are designed to quickly get security updates into the hands of customers, with nearly 80% of users running the latest versions of our operating system. While our initial analysis indicates that many of the issues leaked today were already patched in the latest iOS, we will continue to work to rapidly address any identified vulnerabilities. We always urge customers to download the latest iOS to make sure they have the most recent security updates. Always good practice. And I think I saw that a new beta came out just today. We're recording this on March the 8th. So I think there's a new iOS beta, and there have been developer beta, yep. And there have been a lot of rumors swirling that we might see a new iOS update any day now, which, you know, presumably is going to be, you know, security enhancements. So, you know, obviously, if Apple's doing this, you know, Google and Amazon, all the rest are probably doing the same thing, and, you know, trying to get ahead of that. And who's to say that these not were all things that they were unaware of? They may have patched some of the things that were part of this, you know, leak of exploits that they already knew about and have already been patched. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the continued shakeout of this ends up being. But that definitely
so
something to be aware of.
My prediction is that they can patch all they want and they'll break it, because Apple has a lot of resources and a lot of money and a lot of smart people. The government has more.
Well, I mean, it's a cat and mouse game, right? I mean, you're going to, you know, cover up one hole and then another hole is going to get found.
It's more of a lion mouse game, because the government, they're going to win that battle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, because Apple has to be 100% right 100% of the time, and the government only has to find one exploit that lets them in.
Yep.
I mean, it's the same argument with jailbreaking, right? I mean, Apple tries to keep the jailbreakers out. They have to get it right every time. If you're a jailbreaker, you only have to find one little crack in the armor, and you can get your way in to exploit and then elevate and escalate privileges, and then boom, you're in, and now you've got control. So, yeah, it's... It is.
And every time Apple releases a new version, they open up the possibility they open a vulnerability that it closed before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I work with enterprise software, and that's always the case. It's like every time they send out a bug patch, you've got to look and see, okay, well, they fixed all these bugs, but what bugs did they introduce? And that's always the case. Always the case. So you got to kind of weigh.
Keep you employed.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to weigh, did we fix the problems that people are complaining about, but what about these other problems that we're going to introduce? And that's just the way of it.
The way of the world. So do we want to wrap it up, folks?
Yeah, we're probably getting close to an hour. We've got more Conan's stories, but there's
and
always more
and
weeks.
Making funny faces, and I feel like I need to be hearing what he's saying.
You are easily amused, sir. Oh, look at that talkie box. Funny. Something funny's happening.
I'm just telling you, Conan is funny.
All right. Well, Todd, why don't you tell us what you love?
It's a new car.
A brand new car.
Well, actually, it's a used car.
A brand used car.
I went from a 2005 Toyota Sienna with 190,000 miles to a 2014 Toyota Sienna, but only 35,000 miles.
Solidly responsible choice.
Yeah. And when you jump up 9 years and like a couple trim levels, you get a lot of features that I've been missing, like dual powered sliding doors. I only had one, just one side had it, which was always fun to watch, like the little cousin who had a newer van walk to the driver's side and pull on the handle and, you know, be dumbfounded because nothing
happened.
How come
this dumb piece of crap doesn't open the way my parents does? You suck, it's Uncle Todd.
Exactly. It's got a powered hatchback.
It's nice.
Got a backup camera, and it had the navigation package, so it's got like a larger backup camera, like the 2015s have. Bluetooth connected phone. Yes, I know everybody in the world has this, but I did not. So now I can just play my phone through this car speakers. That's great. And blind spot assist, which actually was something that I was really looking forward to. So the both mirrors will give me a heads up when somebody's in my blind spot.
Oh, that's cool.
And if you turn on your turn signal and somebody's in your blind spot, then your mirror starts flashing. So it's like, hey dummy.
Hey, pay attention.
Yeah. Don't go over there and crash into that guy. So it is a little spendy. It's, about $28,500, somewhere in that range. So maybe save up for a while like I did. But really happy with it so far. Really glad to get some more modern features in my vehicle.
That's awesome. You know, and those backup cameras are so nice. I've got one in my car. And just a week or two ago, I was driving my wife's car, and hers is a little older. It's probably on the slate to be replaced maybe this year. She's not sure if she wants to jump back into car payments and all that fun stuff. And she does not have the backup camera. And I was backing out of the driveway, and I have to turn my neck like a heathen. Like this shall not stand. I don't look behind me. I've gotten so used to and complacent of having it in my car that I just glance down at the little screen in the console and whip it around like a IndyCar driver, that when I actually had to like look behind me and crane my neck and do all that, it sucked. I missed the backup camera. I love it now.
Yeah.
Jacob, comforts. What do you love?
Mine is also kind of spendy for what it is, but damn it if they didn't make me a believer. I love the Duluth Trading Company's Buck Naked underwear. You've seen the commercials, and by golly, that stuff, it's fantastic underwear. So near me, a Duluth Trading Company just recently, like within the last 4 or 5 days, opened a brick and mortar store. And so this past weekend, we had to go and check them out. And so really cool store. I mean, all kinds of fan dancy clothes and whatnot. Definitely looked like sturdy work stuff. Like if you need rugged work pants and such, like if you're doing heavy duty work, looks like they got nice stuff. But I've heard about these underwear, seen the commercials. I think I had read somewhere online someone had said good things about them. So I splurged and I bought a pair. They're like $22 for a pair of underwear. Yeah, I wow. just shot
one pair of underwear,
$22. Not like $14 for the six pair of Hanes, you know, what have you.
I got to be honest with you. I'm thinking Todd's purchase was more economically reasonable. Jeez, oh, Pete, a pair of underwear for $20.
I know. I felt ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Billy, man.
So
could have bought a rabbit worn in his underwear.
Once we start making all that in the United States, that'll seem like a reasonable price.
Right. So I splurge. And I have to say, gosh darn it, the hype is true. They are so comfortable. It is truly like I've got nothing on at all. They don't pinch. They don't bind. They hug me in all the right places. You shake your head. I did the same thing. I bought one pair, and I'm already like, could I justify buying another pair? Is it possible I could work these into my entire rotation? I mean, how many pair of underwear does a man need to go a week? Like, can I justify seven pairs?
Maybe seven. Last time I checked.
I know. I yeah, have to say, though, hard. My jimmies are no longer rustled. It as underwear goes, it is fantastic. I don't know if it's made in America. I don't know where it's made. It could be made by child laboring sweat slaves in Indonesia. But damn it, if it's not the best pair of underwear I have ever, ever strapped to my undercarriage.
$22.
Yep, $22. And okay, and so here's something.
We're talking about you didn't want to spend $100 more.
I got to afford all that $20 underwear somehow.
Seriously.
So in a case of rare reverse discrimination in the fashion world, you know, so Duluth positions itself as sort of the man's brand and the workman's brand, and they do have quite an extensive ladies line. I mean, half the store is women's stuff. And maybe not quite half, but 35% of the store is women's stuff. And all of the women's stuff was either on sale or had a buy two, get X percent off deal going on. Not a single thing, buy anything, get X anything off on the men's.
Do they actually have stores, or are you talking online?
No, it's a physical brick and mortar store.
Where's that at?
It's up near where I live. I'm not going to say online, but I'll tell you offline. But yeah, they do. Yeah. They have a physical brick and mortar store. They just opened up this past weekend, and you can go in and browse and feel and try on and all that fun stuff.
Said it's in this place, a long way away from where I live, and then I would have known right now, and I had to wait. But that's okay.
Or I'd tell you in five more minutes. But yes, they actually do, and I'll tell you, like, their stuff seemed nice. They actually have a kind of Docker style khakis that are maybe $5 more than buying a pair of Dockers. If you need like a chino kind of pant, I would certainly be willing to give them a try. I didn't try a pair on because the place was jam packed full of people, but they looked like they were built really well. They felt well made. They looked nice. I mean, you know, they're like $48, and I think a pair of Dockers is about $45 or something like that. So, I don't know. I'll give them a try, and I certainly will go back for more underwear whenever I save up enough pennies. That is what I love. Now that you have thoroughly made fun of me for my wildly extravagant underdrawers, Jeff, what is it that you love?
So I was in the market for a new front door lock. The old one we had the Kwikset smart keys. I don't know if you're familiar with those, but it's where you can
the little thing you can that basically you stick in, right?
Yeah, you stick the little thing in. You can set any key. Well, I found out one of the negatives on that after, you know, 7 or 8 years of using that. Sometimes those break and no keys work anymore ever. Ooh,
that's not good.
So I was in the market for a new one. and, you know, just a smart key lock is very inexpensive. I mean, you know, less than your underwear, for instance. But being the person that I am, I couldn't let, you know, that happen. I had to spend way more than that because I needed technology in my lock. And so I bought the Kwikset 910 Smart Lock. And this has a keypad on it.
Okay.
So you can do a 6-digit code and it will unlock the door. And you can obviously lock the door as well with that code. It also has Zigbee in the lock, which is the technology that Xfinity Home uses. Interestingly enough, cannot use it with my Xfinity Home, so I'm going to go on a rant now about Xfinity because the Xfinity supports, with their in-home system, the Kwikset 914 smart lock.
Ooh, it's four smarts better.
La-di-da.
Four smarts better. So originally, you know, being the intelligent person I am, I went to the Xfinity website, and I'm like, okay, I need the Kwikset 914. There's even a link. It takes you right to Best Buy. And I hit the order button, and I ordered it, even though it was more expensive on Best Buy than Amazon, because I was like, you know what? Who cares? It's $10 more expensive. I'm just going to order it, be done with it. Yay. Get it in, install the lock, get all the code set up, go to connect it to my Xfinity, and it won't connect. I cannot get it to work. Cannot get it to work. Cannot get it to work. So I call the Xfinity helpline. I'm like, look, you know, I'm following the instructions. I'm doing what it says. It won't connect. And he's like, okay, tell me, you know, read off the model number. So I read off the model number, and he's like, that's the Z-Wave lock. And I'm like, well, I was on your Xfinity website. I clicked the link that says buy this lock on Best Buy. I hit buy now, and they sent me the lock. And he's like, well, that's never going to work because our system works on Zigbee. I'm like, okay, fine. So I ended up calling Best Buy, and they're like, okay, we're sorry. We obviously sent you the wrong lock. Hold on a second. Clickety, 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 click. Sir, we don't have any of the Zigbee locks, the 914 Zigbee locks. They don't make them.
Why would they?
They discontinued that and only sell the Z-Waves, and that must be why we sent you the Z-Wave. And I'm like, well, that's nice, but that ain't going to work because it won't work. And they're like, well, you know what? No problem. We have the Kwikset 910 smart lock. It's 1 year older model, but it's a Zigbee model, and it'll even cost you less. You send us that one back, we'll send you the new one. Yay! Everyone wins. So they did that. I get the Zigbee 910 in. I do all the things, and I go to pair it, and I hit the pair button, and boom, it pops up and says Kwikset 910, and then immediately goes to a red X and says, this device is not supported by Xfinity.
And it's not supported just because. Probably just for because. No good reason.
No good reason whatsoever.
Somewhere someone had to certify locks, and they didn't certify that one.
That's correct. So I called Xfinity and spent a bunch of time on the phone with them to no avail. So the long and short of this is the lock's freaking awesome. Love it. Two thumbs up. Great lock. Xfinity Home Security, two thumbs down. If anyone has any recommendations for some kind of online service / thing that I can hook some of these, you know, everything I have in my home is Zigbee related. Mm-hmm. So if anyone has any recommendations for something that I can buy to do a Zigbee home system of some kind that is monitored and discontinue my Xfinity security service, lay it on us and call us in on our comment line and let me know what you think, because I'm in the market for a new security company that uses Zigbee because I don't want to buy all new stuff.
Yeah, I, you know, and it's interesting because I think Z-Wave has kind of beat Zigbee out as far as the protocol that everybody started adopting. So I don't know if there's nearly as much Zigbee stuff out there.
There is not, and that's what's so frustrating. And that's probably why Kwikset quit making them, is just because they just didn't sell very many of them. But anyway, I'm kind of in the market. I don't really want to buy all new stuff.
Right.
The lock is great. The keypad thing works just fine. No problems, but it would be really nice to be able to control it from a security system so that, you know, when someone came there, I could just say, hey, instead of dropping that package off on the front porch, go ahead and throw it inside the house and I'll, you know, anyway.
Yeah. It looks like the Wink Hub 2 supports Zigbee as well as Z-Wave, Lutron, and a couple of other protocols. So I maybe might be able to do something there, but it's not a security system. It's just a hub. It's like a smart hub.
Yeah, I think there are some companies that work with some of those smart hubs to do monitoring for you.
I know there's that simplicity, but I don't know if, I mean, they're all wireless, but I don't know what protocol they use. I've not looked into them. So anyway,
that's why I was asking if anyone has any suggestions. I mean, obviously I'll do some research at some point on my own, but if somebody has a, oh yeah, you should try this, hey, let me know. I would appreciate it. And they could do that by calling our comment line and leaving a comment, or they could shoot us an email. Our comment line is 317-643-1212. You could shoot us an email. You could leave something on Facebook, whatever you want. If you have some information for me on Zigbee home security systems that I could sign up for, I would greatly appreciate it so that I can tell Xfinity what I think of their stupid policy of not supporting a lock because it's four less than the one that they want to support.
Such an arbitrary decision.
It absolutely is. So, I guess now everyone knows better than me. That's not how I'm supposed to end it. I hope that you now know better than average too. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good day.
Have a great week, everyone.
Talk at you later, everybody.